With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, chickens. This is the fabulous Adam Richard, and I have a theory. Okay, chickens, at the end of the last episode, I did mention multiversal Doctor, Metacrisis Doctor coming across from the Rose Tyler universe, or the Pete Tyler universe, I think they called it, because that was the one where he was alive, from the Age of Steel and the Rise of the Cybermen, etc., etc. And also, you know, I did talk about the multiverse in a previous episode. Was that last week or the week? But I don't know. I'm very confused by all this. Also, my throat is very sore, so sorry for the hoarseness. I know it's becoming a problem. So I got a letter from Paul, one of his many amazing letters that he sends, where he mentions, he called this section of his letter, "Who Multiverse or Not Who Multiverse?" That is your question. Because I had this theory that the Doctor only exists in one universe. And so that is why, I mean, it's a perfect kicking off point for the Rose Tyler audios, the Dimension Canon, because she's going looking for him everywhere. And when the Doctor went across to another universe in Inferno, there was, you know, no Doctor there. There was all the other people, like the Brigadier and Liz Shaw and all of those. So Paul has some theories. He says, I'll say from the get-go, I've never been in favour of any science fiction that explores multiverses. Oh, my God, that is controversial. Because I've got to say, I love some multiverses. I'm crazy for them. Like, I really enjoyed all of the different Lokis when I was watching Loki. It's, mainly I enjoyed Richard E. Grant as classic Loki. Like, Richard E. Grant just is amazing. He's adorable. And, you know, there's been, you know, I loved Mirror Mirror, the whole Mirror universe in Star Trek was great. Like, I loved when they brought that back in Discovery as like a whole thing. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, and it was fun in the original one. And, you know, they've kind of dipped into the Mirror universe a lot in Star Trek. But they've only just got one alternate universe. They only go to the one. There's just one next door, which is also weirdly what it seems like in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. It's like they pop into a bunch of them on the way to the one other. Also, the comics that some of the themes in Doctor Strange are dealing with, the Jonathan Hickman's run on the Avengers, which deals with a whole multiverse thing, is amazing. Like, it's some great comics, some huge ideas, you know, really big kind of monumental stuff going on. And I can see what they were trying to do with the Multiverse of Madness, but it just was, yeah, it was so epic. Also, because what was happening in the comics at the time that was going on was there was this what they call the Ultimate Universe, because normal Marvel had been weighed down by 50 plus years of continuity, like since the 60s. So They started the Ultimate Universe, basically just started with Ultimate Spider-Man, which was basically stripping Spider-Man back to what he was, like a teenager, still at school, trying to deal with being Spider-Man and dealing with his problems. Whereas in the main comic, he'd been married, he'd, you know, had many girlfriends, he was a clone for a while, like there was all this kind of weird stuff going on. So Ultimate Spider-Man was just this stripped back, pared back, no continuity thing. That also became Miles Morales, the other Spider-Man after a while. And did they kill him off? I can't remember if they killed off Peter Parker. Anyway, so the Ultimate Universe was a thing. And then they had, you know, Ultimate Fantastic Four and the Ultimates. They didn't have the Avengers. They were just called the Ultimates, which is kind of what the Avengers is based on, is based on the Ultimates universe in Marvel. And then I think someone made a decision that they wanted to get rid of the Ultimate Universe, or maybe sales were falling or whatever. So, you know, this was the whole Jonathan Hickman thing in Avengers, was collapsing. Like, basically, there's the Ultimate Universe and there's the regular Marvel Universe, and they're both, you know, different. They both exist in the multiverse, and then they collapsed in on each other in this huge Secret Wars thing that was going on. And it was fun. It was, you know, great big enormous stuff, you know. And Secret Wars was fun because there was like the police force were all Thors, like lots of different Thors from different universes, which is kind of where the different Lokis comes from. So, you know, it all seems like new and exciting stuff until you go, oh, there was a comic of that. I mean, they're all based on comics. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, this is me reacting to the first sentence of Paul's email. Anyway, I'm just saying I enjoy multiverse stuff. Like, even back, Crisis on Infinite Earths is one of my favorite comics. The late George Perez, who passed away recently, one of my favorite artists, drawing all these different permutations of superheroes from different worlds. Like, I loved all that stuff when I was a kid. You know, I would read these berserk team-ups between the Justice League on one planet, and then there was, you know, the Justice Society. Were they on Earth 1 or Earth 2? Like, they all had numbers. It was Earth 1, Earth 2, Earth 3, I think, was like they were all villains, like Ultraman and all this stuff. Anyway, I loved all that. So Paul said, I've never been a fan of science fiction that explores multiverses. He says, though that sounds contradictory to what entails sci-fi. Yeah, I get what you mean, though. Multiverses, alternate timelines, parallel timelines, the road not taken stories all feel like cheats on behalf of writers. I guess if you're desperately into canon, it would do. Star Trek and Stargate both loves for me lower their respective colors when stories venture into the above. Right, so he doesn't like the mirror universe. I've never really watched Stargate. I've seen the film, and I think I tried watching the first series while I was cooking for a while, just on my iPad, because it was a square. You can watch square TV shows on an iPad, 4:3, as it used to be called. I just call it a square now. It's not actually a square. One of the sizes is longer, Adam. But yeah, I kind of never really plowed all the way through it. So I probably should get into it again one day, because I was kind of enjoying it. It was, you know, Monster of the Week business. Avengers Endgame, Paul says, was such a letdown due to the time travel aspect that cheated a win in the end. Yeah, that did feel like a bit of a cheat. Because it's the kind of thing, you know, like Stephen Moffat started doing a bit of that when he took over Doctor Who, when I was like, oh no, you're not allowed to go back and fix things, otherwise they would have saved Edric. So Paul says, Doctor Who has tread carefully, especially for a time and space travel show. I'm into the second season of Classic Who, so I can only comment on stories from 2005 onwards. Oh my God, second season of Classic Who, like Hartnell, Black and White, the Dalek invasion of Earth. Oh my God, so much fun things. So many fun things. So much fun things. Listen to me. My English is terrible when I speak out loud. I should write these things down before I speak them, but then you'd never get a podcast. Like, it's one thing for me to just plug in and start talking. It's quite another thing for me to do any preparation. But yeah, like, there's so much fun in season two. I'm so excited for you. Anyway, he sets out from the things he can comment on. Rise of the Cybermen, Age of Steel, which is a parallel universe. Yes. The Girl Who Waited, which is accelerated time streams. The Doctor's Wife is an asteroid outside the universe. which I have a theory about, but we'll go into that later. Heaven Sent, which is a Time Lord prison, again, outside time, I guess. It takes you away, the Solitract, an entity incompatible with the universe, so obviously from its own universe. The Day of the Doctor, Gallifrey frozen in a pocket universe. Flux, survivors of the Flux, Tectaeon is stationed in between the Who universe and her seed universe, and an energy conversion is necessary for this to occur. So here's my little theory. So you know how in the Doctor's Wife, there's this, like, they're kind of eating Time Lords. They're luring them there with the little cubes and then eating the TARDISes and eating the Time Lords, and it's kind of a thing. And I wonder if something happens with Tectaeon's little, you know, tree thing that she's popped trying to create her seed universe, and it's constantly seeking energy to become the, you know, to kind of reboot the universe that it's meant to be going over into, even though Tiki Tiki Tartar has carked it. But the mechanisms are all still there, and it kind of evolves into that weird asteroid that tries to eat the Doctor and the TARDIS, and then the TARDIS becomes a person. Like, am I making sense? Like, something happens on Tiki Tiki Tartar's space station and it ends up devolving into that asteroid. Anyway, that's my theory. I hope you like it. Anyway, there's heaps more. I've gone on and on. There's heaps more to this letter from Paul, so we'll continue that in the next one.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.